Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lee and Keys, Real Talk 199. That's the first time that I said the number in a long time. Yeah, that's just rhyme. You know, it's Keys, we rapping. All right, but here we go, here we go. What's up, bro? Lee, you here?
Yo, what it do, man? What it do?
What up, bro? You heard me just spitting bars on the intro?
Yeah.
That was something light. That was something light. That was just a little freestyle off the top for you. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I'm good, bro. I'm just enjoying myself. I'm just enjoying this fine Wednesday evening that we have here.
Yeah, man. You know, summer's around the corner, bro.
Yep. We just had they came out with the release dates for my state today, for Massachusetts. You know, the official reopening plan and everything, when businesses can kind of go back to regularly scheduled programming. So that was nice.
Man, that's good news. That's hella good news.
Yeah, they just came up with that. It looks like in pretty much in the next 3-4 months, they said by August 1st, like, all businesses can open with like no regulations.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna still be a little cautious. That's just me. But hey man, I'm just happy, man, that we get back to some form of normalcy, man. And you know, we'll be able to get out and enjoy ourselves and, you know, be able to enjoy this summer, man. Last summer was bad, you know, 'cause we really couldn't do much. So I'm just looking forward to it, bro.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good one. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, while being as safe as we can, are gonna embrace being able to break out a little bit. You know, because things have definitely been different. So I think a lot of people are gonna embrace. But moving on from that one. You know, our show is about fights, so we like to talk fights here. So we're gonna talk fights, if y'all don't mind. I hope y'all don't mind.
Cool.
I saw you get into a little Twitter back and forth the other day. I saw you get into my man Lee got into a little Twitter back and forth the other day with a Bellator enthusiast, Bellator MMA, you know, the B League MMA. So what was up
man,
with that?
I'm gonna put it like this. I don't mind getting into a debate, back and forth debate with somebody. I just hate when people start using names. Like the guy was like, you know, you feeding into the UFC propaganda, or I don't want to say he didn't call me ignorant, but he called me something, and I was like, damn, what's up with the name calling? But what I want to say to Bellator fans is this. When you guys start talking about opponents for guys or girls in Bellator and you only can name three people, how about that means your division isn't that deep? That means that the level of fighters that you have on the roster isn't that deep. So Evans came out and said he wanted to see MVP versus Wonderboy. And I came back and I said, I think the only way MVP is that we really going to see how good MVP will ever be is if he joined the UFC. And then this guy said something about, he said three names, and I was like, two of those three I would have to Google. But I knew it, Derek Anderson. But my thing is, Bellator is the B leagues for a reason. They sign fighters that get cut by the UFC. I mean, they trying to do their own thing now where they trying to, like, grow their own fighters. But until your divisions are deep and you can come at me with more than two names for a potential fighter, it's really not a debate. I think MVP, if he was to come over to the UFC, he could fight Wonderboy, he could fight Leon Edwards, he could fight Masvidal, Colby Covington, Gilbert Burns. The champ right now is Usman. And when Tom Woodley get cut, if he goes over to Bellator, that will probably be the biggest name they will have in that division outside of Douglas Lima. And that's all I want to say, man. Bellator fans, don't be sensitive. Just look at how, look at it from the outside looking in. We're not downplaying your product. Only thing we're saying is some of the fighters in Bellator won't reach their full potential until they fight UFC competition. And that's all I was trying to say to you.
And the thing is this, right? The thing is this. So they don't even have – I wish I actually was – I was pretty busy. I think that was yesterday when you said – when I saw that. And I was pretty busy with work yesterday. And I haven't been on Twitter as much as I probably – well, at least haven't been on MMA Twitter as much as I'd like to be lately, which has been almost not at all. I haven't been – because the work I do is on social media, so by the time I'm done with the day, I don't spend too much time on social media. But I wish I was there for this exchange because I would tell this guy, look, you have when you have to have main events, I always think about this with Bellator, when you have to have main events, like, and you got to put guys like Chael Sonnen in your main event, there is a problem. There is a serious problem. Because we all know Sonnen is a fighter of the past, okay? Don't get me wrong. I love Chael Sonnen. I have a lot of respect for the guy. You know, he's very knowledgeable about the sport. I think he's a great commentator, great personality. I love watching his shows on ESPN. I love watching his YouTube channel. I really don't have really much anything bad to say about him. But it's you know, when you have to put a guy like that from a fighting standpoint in your main event, to get eyes on Bellator, that is just sad. You know, that's just so sad, and it's terrible, you know. And that's – and then the only fighters that you even have in your division are UFC wash-ups. They're either UFC wash-ups or they're UFC guys who couldn't really make the cut in terms of fighting the top level, fighting the top competition. And case in point, Corey Anderson. Corey Anderson, I was a fan of. You know, I thought he was going to fight John Jones for the belt. I thought he was going to be the next guy. I was like, okay, Corey Anderson, you know, he's beaten three guys who are three top 10 guys. So really, how can you deny that? I mean, he has fought high level guys, but then it was, you know, he ran into Bukovic, who we all love to doubt. And then he always wins. Which that has continued, by the way. And he ran into Bukovic, and he got KO'd. He got KO'd stiff. So then he went to Bellator. He ran to Bellator. And then now you see him coming out, you know, saying that Bellator, you know, has paid me more than the UFC ever paid me and all this. Bro, hold on. Okay? Bellator, hold on. Can we slow down, please? Slow down. Hold on. Because if I remember correctly, the last time that I looked at Bellator's pay scale, they were paying, and you could go look this up and fact check it right now. I've already fact checked it about five times. So I'm pretty sure last time I checked, they had their double champion, okay, the two-division champion who they had to position him to become champion of both divisions because they don't even have enough fighters to have a champion in both divisions. They didn't even have enough roster to hold a light heavyweight champion and a heavyweight champion. So they positioned Bader. You know, they positioned Bader. They put him in there with yay old Fedor, right? They put him in there with yay old Fedor, all these guys that are way past their time. Bader's, you know, he wins two belts. Then they had him fight Chet Congo in a title fight. And you know how much both of those guys got paid each?
I'm waiting.
Both of those guys got paid $100,000 each. And I don't even think there was a win bonus. Really? Really? They had the double champion. They paid him $100,000 with no win bonus. And Chet Congo got $100,000. It's not even the difference of Chet. So first of all, you had him fight another UFC washup, another guy who's way past his time. I remember Chet Congo back in 2009, okay? I was playing him on UFC Undisputed 3, all right, on my Xbox 360, the original one, right? And you have him in your main event in the year 2019. Yeah, I think that was in 2019 or 2020. And you have him in your main event. And then you put him at the same point, at the same price point as your double champion. There is no respect. There is no respect. Okay? You can't, if he's your double champion, especially your heavyweight champion, he's the top of the heap. He's supposed to be the baddest man on the planet. How are you going to pay him that? So, anyways, enough about that. Those guys, until they can show me the facts, I don't want to hear about it. The Bellator, they don't even have enough guys to even have a Grand Prix. And then so they got to put two Grand Prix together to even have one Grand Prix. They got to have, like, half the light heavyweights that they ever got go into the heavyweight tournament to be able to even fill a heavyweight tournament and vice versa. So Bellator is just terrible, man. It's – oh, my God. The MVP, he hasn't fought nobody. So when he comes over there, if he ever comes to USC, he'll have some real comp. But until then, he's just going to keep fighting nobodies and winning fights. And you're never going to see his real level. So that's really the case with that.
And basically, that's all I was saying. All I was saying was – is for him, for us to determine how good he is, we have to see him fight against the level of competition in the UFC. That's why Michael Chandler left Bellator. Well, I ain't going to say that's why he left Bellator. I'm going to talk about that a little later. But Michael Chandler left Bellator to come to the UFC because he said he wanted to fight the top names in the sport. And all the top names in his division were in the UFC. So, but, you know, man, enough about that. Hey, my man Keys, man, you had something amazing happen to you this weekend. You don't have to get too deep in it. But just tell the people what happened to you this weekend, bro.
Yeah, so it wasn't even really – I mean, I guess it happened to me, but I'd say more so it happened to us. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I did get a DM from, you know, a representative of staff from one championship. I did get a DM from one championship staff and, you know, basically getting us on their media list, you know, for, you know, we're a piece of the media now, you know, we're pretty much on their email list for, you know, all their, you know, press events and such like that. So, you know, we're really part of the game now and, you know, it's real. It's real, and I was, you know, I got chills when I saw that DM, when it came up in my message, and he said, you know, da da da, I work with one championship. You know, I almost fell off my chair, bro.
Man, that's what's up, man. That's a good look. Hey, and you know, when you let us know that on the group chat, I was like, man, that's big, dog. That's really, really big. So hopefully we'll see where that go at. We, as far as people that listen to our show, this year we really trying to do big things. I just applied for us to get media credentials for the UFC this week. Key's probably going to hopefully get us in the media group with one. And, man, it's just something about when you get those credentials and we go to events. We could do our show live from the event. You know, we could be there. We could try to set up interviews and stuff like that. And that's all we're trying to do, man. We're just trying to be – we are players in the game, but we're just trying to get a little deeper in the game.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
that was some good news, man. I was like ecstatic when I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I got the chills, you know, when I seen, you know, so-and-so, I work with one championship, man, like I said, I almost fell off my chair. I thought I was hallucinating, you know, I was hallucinating when I first read that. I had to do like a triple take on it to make sure it was really real, but now it's real. So we got, you know, we've gotten a couple emails from them and, you know, there's definitely some stuff, you know, there's some moving things happening with that. So that's going to be good. And like you said, we've been a part of the game, but we're just trying to get deeper into the game. So, you know, that's what we're going to do. You know, you see the UFC press pass, you know, get the one press pass. And like you said, you know, we might just be doing live interviews, you know, never mind talking about the fights on our show. We'll be doing that at the same time, but we'll be doing live interviews at the event. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then it's really real. So,
yep.
Like, if y'all weren't listening before and you still aren't listening by now, you should probably hop on now because the train's rolling. You might get left.
Yeah, man. And, you know, thanks to our listeners, the ones that stream our show, they might not listen live, but we do have some loyal listeners out there that do stream our show every week. And we appreciate y'all. And y'all part of this ride, too. So, hey, just keep hanging in there with your boys. We doing things in the game. We doing things in the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know me, you know, at the end of our show each week, you know, we pretty much go through our little segment of, you know, each of our closing words, if we have any closing words to put out there to the people. And y'all know what my closing words always are. I mean, my closing words, the first thing I think of is thank you to our listeners. You know, that's always my first thing. That's first and foremost what I say every time. And that's because that's just like, you know, that's at the forefront of my mind is I appreciate, you know, the people who listen, and even if they only listen once or if they listen, you know, now and then or even every single time, you know, I appreciate that. So, you know, when I look at the numbers, it, you know, that definitely puts a smile on my face and you know, it just keeps on, you know, it keeps us motivated and keeps us motivated to keep on rolling and keep on bringing you more fight content.
That's right. That's right, dog.
So what I wanted to – what I want – oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was about to say the same thing. Go ahead, bro. Great minds think alike.
How do you know what I was about to say?
I got you.
So what I was going to say next is – now, this one is catered to you. What do you think about this news? Because there was two things on my mind, but I'm going to hit you with this one. What do you think about this news of your boy, John Jones, leaving his management team that he's had for the past 12 years? What do you think about that?
Actually, I was kind of shocked. The Coward Brothers have basically, they have done really good by John Jones, if you ask me. He's got out of a couple of bad situations. You know, they hired top-notch lawyers and stuff like that for him. But when I think about it, I think it's a good move for him. I think what he's trying to do now is he's trying to maximize being John Jones outside of the octagon. Because if you look at it, John has been a star in this sport for a while. But he hasn't done anything outside the octagon. It's probably because of, you know, he's basically a knucklehead sometimes too. But look at what Ronda has done. Ronda's done movies. Ronda's done commercials. Ronda's done a whole lot of stuff outside. Look at Conor. Conor got the liquor thing. Conor is working with Floyd Mayweather. Conor is a celebrity fighter. GSP in movies. Randy Couture in movies. Chuck Liddell in movies. A guy like John Jones should be doing the exact same things they doing. And why isn't he? I don't know. I think that's what he's looking at now. I think a lot of people, when they look at it, they're going to say he's doing it because he's trying to better leverage, try to get better leverage against the UFC. The only way I would believe that is if he hires Ali Aziz. If he hires Ali Aziz, he's trying to leverage himself to get more money in the U.S. But I was shocked. But at the same time, he has to do what's best for him. And sometimes you got to start planning for life after fighting. I know me as a fan, I hate to say that because I'm such a fan of his, but I'm a realist too. You know, I was in the Air Force 22 years. I knew one day they was going to say, hey, Lee, you had a good run. I knew that day was coming. So, you know, maybe John is looking at it that way. What you think, bro?
I mean, and this, you know, he could be thinking about it that way. You know, very well could be. That's a good point. And I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it also comes in part with him just valuing himself and just deciding at a certain point, like, okay, I'm going to try to make, you know, the right chess move for my career. You know, I've put in a ton of work. You know, he has put in a ton of work, you know, so he might have just got to the point where he's like, okay, I think I need to make this move to be able to get to the next stage of my career. You know, I had a great run with these guys, and this is a great management team, and he probably got mad love for him, but he's like, to be able to get me to where I want to go to next and to get down these avenues I want to travel down now, I got to make this move. So, I mean, I respect it. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, like I said, I was shocked, but when I actually sat back and thought about it, I was like, hey, you know, sometimes you gotta make tough decisions, but you know, sometimes tough decisions lead to good outcomes. Sometimes they don't. So we just gotta see how it play out. But
yeah,
that
so,
being said,
go ahead.
But that being said, bro, let's talk about this weekend's card, man. Before we even get into that, hey, wishing a speedy recovery to Chris Weidman. Freak injury he had in the cage on Saturday, very gruesome injury between him and Crew. Man, that card couldn't have started off any flukier, but wishing Crew and Chris Weidman a speedy recovery, but more so Chris Weidman because of his advanced age in the game. You know, this might set him back, you know, but we'll see what happens, man, and wishing Chris Weidman a speedy recovery. But back to the card, man. We're going to start at the top and work our way down. Yo, what were your thoughts of Usman knocking Jorge Masvidal's shoulders damn near, knocking his head off his shoulders damn near? And when they showed it in slow-mo and you saw all that sweat in the air, I was like, man, this is so cold. So what was your thoughts on Usman and who you think he should fight next?
Man, I was
well,
so proud.
We already know who he's going to fight next. So
I was so proud in that moment. I was so proud because, I mean, it was that feeling was so good. It was so it was very gratifying to see that, you know. Because, you know, man, it's like this guy, you know, Jorge Masvidal talked all that talk, you know, the whole week, the whole buildup, you know, the press conference saying he was stepping on his toes in the last fight and, you know, all this and, you know, kind of, you know, throwing out there like, oh, he won't, you know, he doesn't want to box, you know, he doesn't want to box with me in there and I'm going to break his jaw and all this. And then, you know, he got slapped himself. You know what I mean? I mean, if anything, you know, he didn't get his jaw broken. I mean, Usman didn't get his jaw broken. You know, I think Masvidal was a little bit off in his prediction of that for the fight. You know, he was a little bit off because he ended up unconscious, you know, and he hit the canvas, actually. So he was a little bit off in his prediction, just slightly. And it was very gratifying to see that. You know, I'm very, very happy with that win. And, you know, I think Usman should – I would like to see a rematch with Colby Covington. That's what I would like
to
see
next. That's the next fight.
Yeah, so,
yeah,
I mean, that's what I would like. If you put, like, all the names on the table, that's the one that I would pick. But – if Usman were to come out and say he didn't want that fight because he already, you know, I mean, he did actually, like, fracture Colby's jaw, I'm pretty sure, ironically. If he came out and said that he didn't want that fight, I mean, I would understand it because he did already beat him. But I would like to see him fight Colby, though.
Well, that was the fight that they actually talked about it in the post-fight show. They actually interviewed Colby Covington after the fight. You know, he was, of course, he was talking trash about my man Usman, calling him, you know, Marty fake news and all this stuff, you know, like he always do. But I did pick my man Masvidal to win the fight. I thought Masvidal might catch him. I really wasn't too confident in my pick, but hey man, Usman is getting better. I know that when we used to watch his fights back in the day, he would just take somebody down and man hump him basically for the whole fight because his striking wasn't as good. But ever since he done switched his camps up, man, whew, man, this guy's a problem. He is really a problem. And I don't know who they got that can really mess with him right now because he's looking really, really, really scary in there. Man, he looked good. I know that this week when I was on ESPN, he's the new pound for pound number one fighter. And me and Keys will get into that later. We're going to give you guys who we think are, you know, our top five pound for pound fighters. But, hey, man, I was really impressed with Usman this weekend.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. I was really impressed with Usman, and you know, yeah, we'll get into the pound for pound thing a little bit, you know, in a little bit in the show. But you know, the next thing that I wanted to just ask you about was Rose Namajunas, man. What happened with that? Rose Namajunas comes out, wins by head kick KO, basically, in the very first round against Zhang Weili. Who could have predicted that? I don't even know. I don't even know who really saw that coming. I wasn't shocked. I wasn't shocked that she won. I knew that you know, I knew she was, even though I picked Zhang to win, I knew that Rose could win. I just didn't think like that. And that early in the fight, she catches her with a big shot. Man, you got to break this one down. What do we see in there?
I predicted that Rose would win the fight. I didn't think that she would knock her out. I thought she would definitely make Weili Zhang do some things she was uncomfortable with as far as, like, taking her down and stuff like that. I always felt Rose was the better fighter of the two because I think Rose, and Keys can attest to this, I am a guy that believes in fighters that have multiple tools in their tool belt. And Rose has multiple tools in her tool belt. She can take you down. She can kick. She can punch. She's good against the cage. She can fight off her back. And that's why I felt she would win. I didn't think she would leg kick her and put her out the way she did. But it was impressive. And I love the way her coaches were coaching her. You know, right before the fight, they showed it. You know, she was sitting there saying, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. And when you say stuff like that to yourself enough, you really start to believe it. And she went in there, and she put on a show. And outside of that spike slam on her head, I always felt she was the rightful champ. And she just proved me right.
And this is one thing on top of that that I didn't even know about. And y'all can call me a casual for not knowing this. I actually just found this out. Because at this point in time that I'm about to mention, I wasn't really tuned in. I wasn't tuned back into the UFC at this point in time. It was shortly after that that I got back into it, started really religiously watching it. But I didn't know that. When Carla Esparza when Carla Esparza became the, they had the fight for the inaugural bout when the bout was first made, you know, when they first made the strawweight division, it was brand new. I didn't know that that was, Rose was in that fight. Were you aware of that? Yeah, so I guess Carla Esparza beat Rose for the inaugural bout. I was not aware of that.
I didn't know that either.
Rose, I think it was a TKO to win the inaugural bout, and then Carla Esparza defended against Joanna, and then that's when, you know, Joanna started her title reign. But I had no idea that it was Rose in that inaugural strawweight title fight. I had no idea. I thought she was more of a sleeper. She was kind of more of a like a dark horse in the division. I didn't think she was already prominent in the division when the division was first made. I didn't know she was already in the title picture. I thought she kind of rose up. Ironically, I said she rose up. You know, rose up. I do the entendres. You know how it is. This is Keys, man. You got to check out my music. I got entendres without even realizing I got them. But I was thinking that she kind of rose up in the division slowly, and she was kind of the dark horse, you know. But I didn't know she was already in the picture. So that was news to me.
Yeah, man. Hey, you just schooled me on something. I didn't know it either.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess we're both casuals.
No, I would never go by that. You just schooled me on something I didn't know. I would never say I'm a casual.
Yeah, no, we're not casuals by any choice of the word. But it is fun to say it. So the next thing that we got to get to is Valentina Shevchenko. I think she is – Valentina Shevchenko might be unbeatable at this point. I don't even think there's anybody that – I mean, I think we already kind of had a sense of that. But then she goes in versus Jessica Andrade, arguably the best comp that she has fought since becoming the flyweight champ, and completely dominated the fight. Like, she didn't even – Andrade didn't even have a chance at any point in the fight. Like, I didn't even see any opening for Andrade to do anything. Like, it just looked like Valentina was just schooling her the whole time and dictated exactly the way the fight was every second of the fight. Is that what we saw?
Man, I thought Andrade would get her more of a fight. You know, Andrade just fought for the belt at 135. I want to say she fought for the belt at 125. And now she's fighting for the belt at 115, I want to say. But I don't have the words to even describe what I'm seeing from Bullet Shevchenko, man. It's like everybody, you remember her last fight, everybody was like, yo, you know, taking her down is the way to beat her. Then what did she do? She comes against Andrade, who's supposed to be this top-level grappler, and she takes her down over and over and over again. And she finished her in a crucifix-like position where she had her arms trapped, and she just pounded her with elbows. And I was like, wow, this girl is amazing. And then you put something in the group chat, and, you know, sometimes it's overused a little bit. But when I started thinking about it, I was like, man, Keys might be on to something. Shevchenko could be the GOAT at the end of all this, man. I mean, even surpass Amanda Nunes, even though Amanda Nunes is a double champ. I think that maybe, you know, if Rose fights Wally and she beats her, do we get Shevchenko versus Nami Yunes? You know? Hey, man.
I mean,
I was thoroughly impressed.
I mean,
go ahead.
I'll say this. Just to correct you on one aspect, Andrade never fought for the 135 belt.
She did?
No, she didn't. I don't even know if Andrade ever fought at 135. What you were thinking of is that she fought for the one. She fought at 115 first. She fought Joanna. That was when Andrade was like kind of still relatively new in the UFC. She was kind of like a couple fights in, and she was looking real. She was just knocking people out. But she got schooled by Joanna. I think that was one of Joanna's last title defenses before she lost the belt. Maybe even that was the one before she fought Rose for the first time. That might have been not the one before it. But, yeah, so she fought Joanna for the 115 belt, got dominated there in like a five-round striking fight. And then she went up, and this is her second time fighting. She fought for the 125 belt, and then she just got pretty much dominated by Shevchenko. But, I mean, it's not like that's – those are two, like, Andrade has not had easy runs at either one of those belts. Those are two tough, you know, tough competitors. But yeah, I just wanted to give you the quick correction on that. And secondly, yeah, I mean that might have to be the fight. I mean, when I usually like to watch the post event conference. I like to watch the post fight conference, and I watched it for this one. And I like to see what the fighters have to say after, and you know, let the media ask them some questions. You know, maybe you get like, just hear what they have to say. It doesn't even really matter, you know, if there's any juice there or you don't. I mean, because a lot of times fighters don't want to talk about, oh, this is who I want to fight next, you know, literally when they just got out of the cage. But I do just like to hear what they have to say and, you know, hear them talk about the fight and, you know, how they thought it went and such like that. And I was watching Valentina at the post-fight presser, and she sounded like, you know, they were really trying to press her, you know. They were really trying to press her about moving up to do either a catch weight with Nunes or move up to 135 or whatever. Just they were in general just about her fight with Nunes. And they were even asking Dana about it, you know, once Dana was taking questions, they were even trying to dig at him about, oh, are you gonna try to have them fight? And Dana didn't even sound interested in it. He was like, I want both of them to be, you know, respective greats in their own divisions and, you know, let them both have their own legacies. And, you know, if he's like, I'm not looking to make that fight, but if the both of them were to come to me and both say they were really interested in the fight, then, you know, I would probably do it for them, but that's not something that we're looking at. So I don't think that's on the table. I mean, Valentina sounded like she wants to keep fighting contenders at 125, which – I mean, I'm personally fine with that, but I mean, I totally understand it. You know, if we were to say, why not do, instead of even doing that one, do Rose, you know, have Rose, you know, let Rose get one more title defense off, you know, let her fight the Zhang, you know, in the rematch. And if she wins that one, you know, maybe Rose can, I don't know what they want to do, but let them fight each other. I wouldn't be mad at that. Maybe that's a good fight.
Yeah, plus you got to say that Rose probably walks around probably, what, about 130, 135?
Yeah, I would think so.
Maybe. Yeah, so she wouldn't have to basically cut that much weight or whatever. So, but we'll have to see how it go. But I would love that fight. I think that would be a good fight. A lot of people are against, a lot of people was on social media. Already talking about, maybe a third fight between Shevchenko and Nunes, but I just don't see how the UFC can sell that. You did come up with a way, Keys. You said that if Amanda wants to come down and try to be a three belt holder, then that would be interesting, but I just don't think she can make that weight, bro.
Yeah, I mean, she would if she were to go down to 125 and try to challenge Valentina at 125 for a third belt, I mean, to become the first ever three-division champ in UFC history, I mean, that would really cement her legacy. I think if she were to win that fight, you just retire right there. Like, there's really probably no reason to continue. I mean, the weight cut would probably be really tough. And if she were to make it through, you know, healthy and then be able to fight and then win, you know, if you that, I think you got to kind of close up shop on that one. You know, that's like a picture perfect, you know, career ender right there. But I don't think the UFC would really like that too much, because I feel like they feel like they have two stars with Valentina and Nunes, and I don't really think that they would try to make something like that happen, because especially where, you know, a lot of these, you know, a lot of these situations haven't ended in the way that they really wanted to. Like when GSP came back, he said he was going to, you know, fight Whitaker, and then he, you know, didn't fight Whitaker, and then they kind of had to have another fight for the, you know, the vacant belt or whatever that was. And then, you know, Dana didn't really like that. And then, you know, I don't know if they would really try to go after it, you know, kind of let them both just dominate and have their own legacy. I mean, that's what I like. I would say, you know, next for Valentina, have Valentina fight, you know, whoever's, I heard there's a, you know, Lauren Murphy is fighting, I think Joanne Calderwood, I think. Yeah, I think it's Lauren Murphy and Joanne Calderwood. I believe that's the fight that's happening, and I think those two are right there. So I think the winner of that one, you put the winner of that one in there with Valentina next. I think that's the next one. And then in the meantime, you can do you can have Zhang heal up, and then when she's ready, come back, have Rose, you know, they do the rematch. And then from that point, you know, if Rose beats her again, especially if it's like another some type of finish, you know, I think you go with Rose and Valentina. You go for that one. I think that's the fight after those two fights.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the I'm looking at the standings, the rankings. Man, we got Jessica Andrade, who she beat. Then I think she beat Chukagan also. She damn near killed Jessica I. Oh man, well, she still got some fights though. So as long as she got fights, we good. So as long as she got people out there that's still going up the ranks, we good. But if she had cleaned out the division, then I'd be like, yeah, it's time for her to do something else. But she hasn't cleaned out the division yet. So hey, keep on fighting Bullet, and keep looking good. Because, oh, my goodness gracious, that girl, that young lady is awesome. And it seems like she is on, she's like my man Usman right now. She's getting better with every fight because she's coming in there with a different game plan for each fight. And I like it, man. I love well-rounded fighters. And she's definitely well-rounded. And she's beautiful.
Who are we talking about?
Valentina.
Oh, okay, Valentina, right. I didn't know if you would transition off to talk about one of the others I just mentioned. But, I mean, the next thing I wanted to run by you was you saw that Dillashaw is, you know, he kind of fell out of the Corey Sandhagen fight that was scheduled for next week.
Yeah. Man, I feel bad for my man Sandhagen, man. But, you know, stuff happens. I wonder what the UFC gonna do. Are they just gonna reschedule it, or do they do Peter Yan versus Sandhagen for the championship, or do they just have Yan wait for Aljamain Sterling? Me personally, I think Aljamain should be stripped of the belt because he really didn't win it, and I would have no problem with that. So. But we got to see how it play out, bro. But, you know, if I'm Sandhagen, I don't take another fight. Even if they try to get a last-minute replacement, I wait on Dillashaw. He just has an infection. So probably, I would say, 4 to 6 weeks at the max. So maybe he gets on the card for your birthday. But it's just a bad thing for my man Sandhagen.
Is Sandhagen coming off a win?
Yes.
Who did he fight?
Marlon Moraes.
Wow, I don't remember that one at all.
I think he fought Marlon Moraes. Hold on, let me fact check that.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. I don't really remember who he fought.
Hold on, because I know he lost to Aljamain Sterling, and then he came back.
I thought there was another one after that.
Yeah, I want to say
he fought Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, sorry, he fought Frankie. My bad, because we thought Frankie was dead.
Yeah. Come on, bro. You gotta do Frankie like that. That's your boy.
Yeah, man. But we did thought Frankie was dead, though, for real.
Yeah, I mean.
But he did beat Moore Rice. Yeah, he beat Moore Rice. Then he beat Frankie Edgar.
Oh, wow. So he's on a 2-fight win streak. I don't remember him fighting Moore Rice at all. I don't even remember that fight going down.
Yeah, he knocked him out in the second round.
Wow, Moore Rice has not been doing well, man. Oh, my goodness. Ever since he fought for the title and lost, he's not been doing well. Okay, so I mean, I would say that Sanhagen probably wait for Dillashaw unless a title fight is offered. If they put it on the table and they're like, we don't want to wait and we want to get Jan in there, you know, and then either they do an interim belt or they strip Sterling and make it for the vacant belt. If they offer it to Sanhagen, I say just take the title fight. I mean, why do you need to? And then the winner can defend against Dillashaw. You know, I think that's just as big. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, who knows? I mean, obviously, I think they'd want to get Dillashaw in there in a fight before he would fight for the belt. I think that was pretty obviously the plan. But who knows? I mean, at this point, they might want to move ahead. So if they do, and you're Corey, and I'm Corey, I would accept the title fight and just fight Jan. And then the winner can defend against Dillashaw, you know, and we just kind of move on. But,
yep.
You know,
I think that's exactly how it should go.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best route for Sanhagen at this point. I mean, you're on a 2-fight win streak, two pretty big knockouts over, you know, I mean, Frank Yeager's not really like a top name at 135. He was a 145er, but I mean, it's still two big knockouts, two big wins. I say that's the way to go with it. But didn't you say you wanted to do? I think we should get in honor of. We were talking about this earlier, and I think in honor of the new pound for pound list, in honor of, you know, you mentioning earlier in the show that, you know, the UFC has placed Kamaru Usman, who I've been calling King Usman. They have placed him in the number one pound-for-pound spot. I think we should both get off our top five pound-for-pound.
All right. Who you got as your number five?
So this is how I'm going to come at you with it. So I was thinking, I was just going to go right down my list. Or you want me to go, you want to go 5-5-4-4 like that? You want to go 1-for-1?
Yeah, let's do it that way. Yeah, let's do it that way.
Okay. So I'm saying, I'm going to hit you like this. I'm going with Poirier at number five.
Okay. Why you have Poirier at five?
So I'm going with Poirier at five because the UFC, they love to just put like anybody who's currently the champion in their division on the pound for pound list. And I don't really think that's always the way to go with it because it's not always the champion fighter or the most consistent fighter. You know what I mean? There's a lot of champions, you know, they want to put guys up there who just got their belts and, you know, maybe have one title defense. They want to put them at like number seven pound for pound. And it's like, you know, we really just started seeing this guy go on a hot streak. Like guys like Poirier been on a hot streak, you know, for far longer than that. And not as the champion, he's been the interim champion, but no matter what, I feel like he is just a top five fighter in the UFC, no matter who is the champion. You know what I'm saying? I think he is a top five UFC fighter across the board. And that's why I had to have him in my top five.
All right, cool. I ain't mad about that. My number five, I went to Bellator. For everybody that think that I don't like Bellator, I went to Patricio Pitbull Friera, man. He's 32-4. He's the featherweight champ right now. And I said I had brought up Michael Chandler earlier. Actually, he beat Michael Chandler for the featherweight championship. He KO'd him in just over 1 minute. And when I was looking at his record, it looked like he won the bantamweight belt less than 6 months later when he beat Archuleta in September 2019. But when I was looking at the Bellator website, they had Archuleta as the champ, so I really don't know whether or not Pitbull relinquished the belt and they gave it to Archuleta or what happened. But I have Patricio Pitbull Freire as my number five.
Okay, so my number four coming at you, I got Max Holloway. I got Max Holloway okay. because I feel like for a similar reason as Dustin Poirier, I feel like these two dudes have been – they're both top five fighters in the UFC across the board. Like, I don't think – you know, there are – if you were to try to name off five people who are more consistent warriors than these two guys, I think anybody would be hard-pressed to think of five fighters, even three fighters that are more consistent performances and are, you know, war ready as those two fighters. You know what I mean? Those two guys go in there and put up, you know, new records every single time. Max Holloway just put up an all-time record in his last fight versus my boy Calvin Kattar. So I got Max Holloway at number four.
Man, I can't be mad about that. Number four, I got Francis Ngannou, the heavyweight champ, 16-3. Since losing to Derrick Lewis in 2018, he's 5-0, all five victories by knockout. My only nitpick with Ngannou is, has he fixed his weakness? Can he get off his back if he was to get taken down? He did stop Stipe's takedown defense in their last fight, but I think Stipe would have kept coming, and then we would have maybe seen maybe an outcome of the first fight, but needless to say, he is the heavyweight champion right now, and I'm going with Francis Ngannou at my number four.
For number three, who did I say? Number three, I'm going with hold on, because now I'm getting into a conflict between my number three and my number two. Hold on. All right, number three, I'm going with my boy Stipe Miocic, number three.
Okay.
And the reason is because I still think he's the best heavyweight in UFC, still the best heavyweight in the world, and you know, most winningest heavyweight ever. And I just think that, I mean, he also beat DC twice, you know, two out of the three times. He has a win over Ngannou. He lost the last one, but, you know, he is putting on weight and he's going to come back stronger. And I think he can beat Ngannou in the trilogy fight. So, yeah, I got Stipe. I think, you know, he's an all-time great. And he's another one of those guys that I think you really would be hard-pressed to think of three fighters that are more consistent and hardworking and more hardworking and more consistent than Stipe Miocic. So that's what I got.
I ain't mad with that. At my number three, I got the welterweight champion, Kamaru Usman, 19-1. Since winning the belt, he's 4-0. In those title defenses, he has three wins by KO. And I think the best thing about him is he's getting better. His striking has caught up with his grappling, which makes him an exciting fighter to watch now. Whereas at first, he was a good fighter to watch. But now he's somebody you want to see fight because you want to see whether or not he's going to finish him or how the fight going to turn out. So I got Kamaru Usman as my number three.
Okay, I just had to tag Evan in that tweet real quick because I'm posting up. If y'all didn't get to listen to the show live and hear our predictions live, you could check them out on our Twitter. You could find our handle at LKE I think it's at LKE Real Talk. Yeah, at LKE Real Talk. That's our Twitter
yep.
handle. Check us out. I'm tweeting out each of me and Lee's, you know, 5-1 pound for pound predictions. So you can go check those out right there. And for my number two spot, I'm going with John Jones. I'm going with John Jones. And the reason is because while this was kind of difficult, I kind of had to go back and forth with this in my head. But the reason is because while he has had like 14 straight title fights, and, you know, I think he won all of them or something like that, super dominant. But the way he has looked as of recent, I just don't think that he has looked dominant. And that is really what impacted my decision for the number one and number two spot. You know, in his recent title defenses, he has not looked dominant whatsoever to me. And I feel like there's a case to be made for each of his last two fights that he lost both of those fights. So I couldn't put him at my number one spot. But, yeah, that's what
okay.
I got. You got to respect the work. But as of late, I don't think he's looked impressive. So I couldn't put him at number one.
All right. At my number two, I have the lioness, Amanda Nunes. Yes, I have a woman in my top five pound for pound. Amanda Nunes is just freaking awesome. 21-4. She's the bantamweight champ and the featherweight champ. She's been in the championship fight her last 9 fights. And the crazy part is her cardio used to be a thing you would have to worry about when you was watching her fight, saying whether or not she would gas out. She has fixed that, and she's willing to wrestle now to go along with her heavy hands. She's the GOAT in female fighting. So my number two is Amanda Nunes.
So now I didn't even realize that we were doing – I thought we were doing pound for pound just for the men's. I didn't know we were doing across the board. So if that was the case, I would have had – I don't have Nunes or Bullet Shevchenko in my top five list, but I thought we were doing the men's, so I didn't even – you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
I would have had them.
I can change up.
Who else would you have your number two? Because I wasn't – I didn't even realize that.
At my number two, I would probably go with – Stipe, man. I would go with Stipe at number two for all the reasons you did. I would have him right above Ngannou, even though he Ngannou beat him. I think there's something to be said about being the best heavyweight, having the most heavyweight defenses, and beating DC 2 out of 3 times. And he did beat Ngannou very dominantly in their first fight. So I will have Stipe as my number two.
Okay, and now for my number one per pound fighter in the UFC. My number one,
Usman.
I'm coming at you like this. My number one pound for pound in the UFC is Kamaru Usman. Kamaru Usman, and the reason is because it's the complete opposite reason of why I had Jones at number two, because if Jones' legacy before his last 3 fights, yeah, he's the number one pound for pound. But you put him based on his last 3 fights, and he looks a bit underwhelming. So Usman in his last 3 fights has looked incredible. And he has taken every contender and smashing everybody. His last 2 wins, both KO or TKO over the top guy. He beat Masvidal twice, you know, just to shut people up, and he did it the way he said he was going to do it. He said, I want to get the finish, and I didn't, you know, he gave him the immediate rematch when he didn't deserve it because, you know, everyone was saying, you know, BMF and all this, and he said, you know, I want to cement that win and beat him the way you guys wanted to see me beat him and the way that I wanted to beat him, you know, for my own athletic career. And he went back and did it. And, you know, he's probably going to rematch Colby again. And he's just willing to take on everybody. And he's about to be – I think he has either the longest active win streak or – yeah, I think he has the longest active UFC win streak ever. I think he's about to, I don't know if he just broke it with that win, the all-time win streak. I think it was like 13 or 14 UFC wins consecutive, I think. Yeah, so I think he's right there.
Yeah, I think he did.
He's like either 1, 2, or 3 for that conversation. So he might even be number one at this point. But, yeah, so I got Kamaru Usman at number one. And honestly, I need to make an honorable mention for this. And I almost put this guy at my number one instead of Usman. In the split second, I thought about putting him at number one instead of Usman, and I think that would have shocked everybody. But I was not playing with that thought. You know what I'm saying? Robert Whittaker. I think Robert Whittaker is my honorable mention for number one because this guy, I feel like, is so underrated. He's still so underrated, even with the performances that he has been putting on, you know, in his last 12 or so fights. You know, he's like, I think, 8-1 or 9-1, maybe even 10-1 at middleweight at this point. And, you know, he moved up from welterweight. He started dominating. He's beaten everybody. He's only lost to Adesanya when he fought, you know, what I deemed an emotional fight. And he will beat him in the rematch, 110%. I have no doubts that he beats him in the rematch. So that's going to be coming too. But he dominated Kelvin Gastelum. People doubted him when he was going to fight him the first time, but he fought him now, and he dominated him. You know, he pretty much dominated Jared Cannonier, a guy that, you know, a lot of people say was a dark horse and that, you know, Cannonier was going to knock him out and all this. Dominated Cannonier, you know, looked great against Darren Till. I actually didn't see that fight, so I can't speak on that, but I heard he looked really great in that fight too. And yeah, he's going to go on and he's going to wait. He's going to fight for his belt. He's going to get his belt back. So I think he's the middleweight GOAT of this generation. A lot of people say Adesanya is the middleweight GOAT, but I heavily disagree with that. I think Whittaker is a couple notches above Adesanya if we're going to be realistic here, you know, about mixed martial arts. You know, he's levels above him. And when he beats him in the rematch, that's going to cement that. You know, I think Whittaker is the number two middleweight all time behind Anderson Silva. And I'll die on that hill. So, yeah, Whittaker, number one, honorable mention.
That's funny because I had Whittaker at number six. I had him right on – he was my honorable mention also. So great minds do think alike, man. Great minds think alike. My number one, and Key's probably going to call me a homer, but I'm going with the numbers. I'm going with John Jones, 17-0-1-1. Last 15 fights have all been title fights. His one loss is debatable. Although Key said he hasn't looked as dominant as he has in the past, still won the fight. The one fight that I think he possibly lost was probably Thiago Santos. I think that's probably the closest fight. I didn't think he lost to Dominique Reyes. A lot of people had him losing to Dominique Reyes. I didn't think he lost that fight. But I'm going with John Jones, man, moving up to heavyweight. We got to see how that's going to work out. But the dude has cleaned out the light heavyweight division not just once, but he's done it twice. So, hey, the most dominant champion there was. Kamaru Usman is on his butt. Nunez is on his butt. And Shevchenko is on his butt. But I'm giving it to John Jones, man. He's my number one pound-for-pound fighter.
So, and the thing is this, too, is that my issue with Jones versus Reyes is that I had to sit there and defend Jones the entire fight with the friends I was with and explain to them how he was defending a lot of the strikes that Reyes was throwing. And I feel like, to a degree, I was right, but to a degree, I felt foolish even saying that, because what I was seeing was Jones have to defend himself and have to defend the strikes, and he was mainly on the defense the whole time, and he was kind of running away. He was mostly backing up, and Reyes was kind of chasing him the whole fight, so that's the reason why I feel like it's definitely debatable whether John Jones won that fight. Because he just didn't – he was not pushing the action. He was kind of running from the action.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that's, you know, that's our pound-for-pound list. I was actually that was pretty fun. You know, that was pretty fun. And I'm glad that we got to do that because we haven't done that. I don't even know if we might have done that like a couple years ago. Like I think maybe early on we did something like that, but we haven't done it in a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
We haven't done it in probably 2-3 years. So that was dope to get that, and it was nice just doing like the top five. Because I want to say before we did like a top 10 or something like that. And that's kind of
a
lot.
Show. That was a whole show, though. We did a whole show,
okay.
Though.
So we did.
On that, yeah.
You're right. So we did dedicate an entire show to it. You know, we did that, but it was nice, you know, having the top five this time. It's nice and short because we like to kind of get into detail, and I like both of us being able to explain our reasonings for why we had who we had at each number, each position. So, you know, that was nice to have that, and I enjoyed doing that. And maybe when Evan is back next week, we can have Evan run through his pound for pound top five since he wasn't able to, you know, he wasn't able to be here to do it. So shout out to Evan, and you know, we'll try to get him to run through. We'll try to have him run through his top five on next week's show since he wasn't able to get his off here. But yeah, so it was a good show. I'm glad, you know, I appreciate the people. I'm glad we got to get on. I appreciate the people who listen to us. Like I always say, thank you to our listeners who take the time to check in to our show. And we're just going to try to keep, you know, bringing you great content. You know, we have the one situation that we talked about. We're going to try to advance on that. We have, you know, trying to get UFC press passes. We're going to try to advance on that. Hopefully get some, you know, get the ball rolling in both of those warehouses. So, you know, you might be seeing us, you know, you might be seeing us a little bit more. So that's what we're going for. And like I said, I appreciate everybody who listens. You know, I enjoy doing the show a lot. Getting on my boy Lee, getting on my boy Evan, you know, each Wednesday night. And yeah, that's all I got. And, you know, any closing words, Lee, the floor is yours.
No, man, I'm just keep it real simple. Great show tonight, man. This is definitely fun, especially during this top five. You know, like we're going to try to stay consistent with this Wednesday night thing. The start time might vary from 6 to 6:30, but we're going to try to be here every Wednesday. Bringing you guys our thoughts, you know, breaking down fights, and probably do things as far as like our top three, top five, you know, stuff like that, just to keep it fresh. There's a fight this weekend. You got Dominique Reyes versus Jiri. I can't think of his last name right now. That's happening on Saturday. Probably not gonna watch that one, but. You know, everybody stay safe. You believe in the vaccine, go get vaccinated. Still practice social distance, wear your mask. And closing, like always, actually this year, I'm using this one, positive people with positive energy, you have positive results. And if you don't believe that, just look at me and Keys and look at our show. Look at what our show is doing. It's two positive guys that's positive about what they do. And positive things are happening for us because of this show and because of our Twitter things. So, you know, you don't believe it. We are living proof that it does work. And always in closing, you know, we always leave y'all with a peace.